Happy Tuesday morning, Junks listeners, wherever you may be listening to the show, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, traveling with the Odyssey app. We do appreciate that. The Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, it's very simple. You go to cropmetcalf.com. You do that today. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes, is where you find me on the Twitter, at CakesFlops. On the Instagram, please give a follow if you're not already. Jason Bishop is here this morning.
Morning, Cakes.
Hello to you. John Paul Flame also here.
What's up, Cakesy?
Rocking his crab kickoff sweatshirt from a few weeks ago. Very good. So the weather's getting a little chillier in the morning. Eric Bickle also here.
Still three and one. This morning, it's still just like pinching myself.
Nothing has changed. The Commanders are still 3-1. Yes.
Amazing. What an amazing time to be alive.
So week four wrapped up last night.
That first game was awful.
You had two Monday Night Football games.
Yeah, I couldn't watch more than a half of that first game.
I guess I would say enjoy, but I'll never turn away NFL football. Even bad NFL football. Like the first game that was offered, the 7:30 kick between the Dolphins and the Titans.
Some bad quarterbacking.
The three quarterbacks that played in the game. Three. They combined for 180 passing yards in the game. And I guess to be expected when you're dealing with Will Levis, Snoop Huntley. I don't know when he stopped being Tyler. He became Snoop. And Mason Rudolph. I mean, if you're Brian Callahan, as soon as Mason Rudolph goes in, clearly the game plan is hand the ball off to the two-headed running back.
And hope that your field goal kicker is on point.
And which he was. Nick Folk was very good last night.
An average QBR, I believe, is 50.
Yeah.
Right, so below 50, you're below average. Yeah. Above 50, you're above average. Mason Rudolph, of the three quarterbacks you mentioned, had the best at 41.2. Now, he only completed 9 of 17 passes, 85 yards, didn't do much. Tyler Huntley had a QBR of 12.1. Mm-hmm. That is pretty dreadful. He actually didn't throw any interceptions or anything, but he just didn't do anything, right? Will Levis was barely in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
His QBR was 0.8.
Injured his shoulder, went out. You know, he's grimacing on the sideline trying to throw the ball. I'm sure, you know, Brian Callahan, the head coach, was grimacing when he threw a pick. I don't know. Why aren't we just pooling our money and betting on him to throw a pick every single game? Because
who knows, that's what he does. Who knows if he'll be playing
and
every single game.
But, I mean, if he's starting games, we should be betting in any time.
The total QBR of the three quarterbacks was 53.
Right.
The total, if you got them all up.
I can't remember who was calling the game, but the announcer
was Orlovsky, and I'm not sure.
It was Orlovsky, Riddick. Yeah. I just can't remember who the play-by-play was. Fowler?
Not sure. Maybe.
I think it was Fowler. But he was saying how, you know, they meet with the quarterbacks and that Levis is so smart. Maybe Orlovsky was talking about being a hard worker. Well, you can be a hard worker and you can be intelligent and still throw a ton of picks.
You can still make bad
decisions. Ryan Fitzpatrick did that throughout his career.
Oh, Will Levis would kill to have Ryan Fitzpatrick's career and longevity in the NFL when all is said and done.
Of course.
Most people would.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, certainly
but Fitzpatrick, until really later in his career, he was known for throwing a lot of interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Didn't matter that he went to an Ivy League school. He might have been test smart, but on the field, he was a bit of a donk.
Sure.
And Will Levis, Fowler or whoever it was saying he's a smart guy and works hard. Might be, you know, a la Jaden Daniels, first guy in, last guy out. It just doesn't translate on the field. He gets on the field and he self-destructs.
Well, here's what does translate. I know a lot of people, you know, were pearl clutching when Tua got his big deal from the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Oh, Tua's not worth that sort of money. For that offense, he's worth every single dollar that they paid him. Because that offense, it just runs like a machine when Tua is there and he's healthy and he's upright.
I mean,
and without him, the entire house of cards falls apart.
Yep. I mean, you're on your third quarterback.
I mean, Snoop Huntley.
I mean, he just got there.
I think he had seven practices with the team.
Yeah.
But you're right.
And it showed.
Look at Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill's numbers.
Yeah.
When Tua's in there, they're 100-yard receivers.
Mm-hmm, easily.
For 59 yards last night.
Well, not only that, it affects the running game. Like, Devin Achane was on fire like the first 2 weeks of the season. And if all the teams have to do is play close to the line of scrimmage because they know there's no threat of a passing game, It bogs down everything.
I mean, Cakes, if you have Tyreek Hill on a fantasy team, you probably can't play him, depending on what you have on your roster.
He's a hard guy to sit.
The last 2 weeks, he's done nothing.
Yeah, same with Waddle.
It also reaffirms that talent is more important than coaching. Well, because Mike McDaniel has been lauded.
Who's been riding that wave forever?
You.
This guy.
Mike McDaniel has been lauded as this offensive genius, ahead of everybody else. Well, he is when he has Tua back there to deliver. But when he's got to turn to Skylar Thompson and Snoop Huntley, they score 12 points.
Makes you look mortal all of a sudden. You don't look so smart when Snoop Huntley is under center. But look, that's what they have to do.
No coach is going to be able to score points with those guys. I mean, come on.
So that game was brutal. I think I saw the opening total was 47. They almost got there. I think they scored a total of 43 points. I mean, after the first quarter, I believe it was donut. It was a tough watch. But the Titans prevail over the Dolphins in a road game. So that was the first Monday Night Football game. The second was definitely more entertaining as the Lions topped the Seahawks 42-29. Both of those teams are now 3-1. Lions 2-1 at home. Jared Goff had a perfect passing day, 18 for 18 last night.
It's incredible.
Average 16 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times, but he had a QBR of 95 and a rating of 155.8.
And he caught a touchdown.
They
ran Philly special.
You know what? Nice touchdown pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. He put it right in there.
That's an amazing line when you don't have an incompletion and you catch a touchdown as a quarterback.
Right.
It's pretty good. I mean, Drabby, you were talking about yesterday all the guys that were out defensively, especially on the front four. There were like 5 guys out for Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, the entire defensive line was out, and it showed.
That's incredible.
He had a beautiful pocket a lot of times, but... Dude, that was a fun game. I mean, yeah, I wish we won, but it was a shootout every time the Seahawks and Lions play. I hope they play and they make it to the playoffs and we get another one because every time those teams play, they put up points.
Like the last 3 meetings have been just offensive fireworks.
The Seahawks.
Right.
Turns out that Ben Johnson guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he can call a pretty good offense.
I was jocking McDonald yesterday, his big national debut. Well. It turns Ben Johnson put him on his lap.
Doesn't hurt to have Gibbs and Montgomery in your backfield too. Like,
yeah, but they drew up some beautiful plays and also, I mean, I just love Geno Smith. I mean, Geno Smith, I'm in love with that guy. He is such a baller.
He is your guy.
He makes play after play after play.
He almost passed 400
yards last night.
Man,
they got some bogus interception at the end of the game with a minute left that wasn't even an interception, but whatever. It was a fun game, man. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, if Seattle put up 516 yards.
Yeah, there were 900 yards of offense.
I mean, they had six. Seattle had 6 receivers who had 30 or more yards in receptions. Jake Bobo, Kenneth Walker, Charbonnet, both running backs had like 9 catches between them. JSN had 51. Lockett, that guy's eternal. He had 5 grabs for 61, and Metcalf 7 for 104.
But early in the game, one of the big plays. And he ends up having a good game. He should have had a touchdown. He got tackled at the 1. Was DK Metcalf fumbled?
Yeah,
that's just a huge turnaround play where you're getting in position to score, and you know you have a turnover. Other team goes up. I mean, they were up 21-7 at the half.
I felt bad for him too. Chasing. Because, I mean, he was just making extra effort to try to gain some extra yards, and the ball just gets popped out.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that happens. Yeah, you know the guy's trying to make a play.
Yeah,
he's a beast. I just remember when he came out and everyone was saying that he couldn't run the routes right or whatever. It's so weird.
He's a straight line runner.
He's a straight line guy. I mean, the guy's an absolute beast. He's like the closest thing to Terrell Owens.
I mean, he's 6'4", 235. Yeah. He's just a massive human being.
What a
sick. That can run like that.
It was about 900 yards of offense in that game last night.
Yeah.
And Goff catching touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
a star turn I never saw.
That one got to the over with the quickness. You weren't sweating the over in that game.
I kind of like the 2 Monday night games.
I do too. I mean, the first game was garbage, but that just is, you know, bad luck in a way.
But at least it starts earlier.
Yeah, 7:30 kick is nice. Don't hate it.
But I think the Monday night doubleheaders, they're over, aren't they?
Believe so.
You know what else you had on last night? The Capitals.
Well, I mean, I saw that they were on my menu.
Willie scored.
I mean, it's a preseason game,
I
JP.
Know.
I don't do preseason hockey.
I can't believe
to get you warmed up.
They've already played five games in the preseason. Wow.
Caps already have five under the belt.
I think they've already played five preseason games.
I only know three.
I don't know. I'm not, that sounds like a lot.
Okay.
Maybe,
I could be wrong.
I'm sure you're right because I pay attention when the puck drops for real. I can't stomach preseason hockey for whatever reason.
Preseason standings, Washington Capitals are they are 2-3.
Oh, okay, you're right.
I think that adds up to five.
It does. Now, I'm bad at math, but I do know that 3-2.
I missed a couple
five.
Of those.
Well, I know earlier in the day, you know, the Mets were playing. My guys, Vinny and Joe, they were texting me up a storm. How come you guys aren't talking about the Mets?
How come you guys, why don't you talk about the Mets? Talk about the Nats all the time.
Well, let me just tell you that.
You get the Mets no love.
The scenarios were so crazy. We've never seen anything like this. Because at the end of the doubleheader, both teams were celebrating. You had one team in the locker room, the Braves, or the Mets celebrating. And then out on the field, the Braves were celebrating because they had to split to both go to the playoffs. It was crazy.
Diamondbacks were Rick.
Diamondbacks were out because they lose the tiebreaker to both teams. But the first game was awesome. There were 10 runs scored in the eighth inning.
Lindor hit the game winner?
He hit the game winner in the ninth. But it was a really fun game to watch.
On a normal year, he might have had a shot to win the MVP.
Yeah, but not a normal year, right?
Got Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
You know, Ohtani had a chance to win the Triple Crown on the last day. He would have had to go like 5-for-5, and Arias would have had to go 0-for-5 or whatever.
But it came down
to the last day.
No, it's insane.
But that was really fun to watch. And today you got four games in Major League Baseball playoffs, including a couple day games. And the Orioles are the second game on the schedule. So got some day baseball. It's October 1st, man.
Are you fired up, Valdez? So you have your whole day planned around it? Oh, no. Are you playing Congo today or are you playing tomorrow?
No, I'm playing Congo tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I'm fired up. I can't wait to see them in the postseason. I will say, if they beat the Royals, they'll beat the Yankees. Because I think they match up better with the Yankees than they do with the Royals.
They beat the Royals 4 out of 6 this year.
They did, but they kind of caught them early in the season.
They did.
And it's just... they're opposite teams. The Royals are very good at manufacturing runs. They're very good on the base paths. Orioles cannot hold runners whatsoever.
And Cole Reagans is going for the Royals, and he is legit.
And the Orioles are very reliant on the home run ball. The Orioles are not very good at manufacturing runs.
And Bobby Witt would have won the American League MVP if it wasn't for Judge.
Yeah. So I'm just...
it's going to be a fun series.
I'm kind of cautious about the series, but I do feel like if they beat the Royals, I'm all in for them to beat the Yankees.
Since you're Baltimore's guest, you're like the mayor. Are you getting free tickets?
I did have a listener offer me tickets. Oh. He had an extra ticket. He asked me if I wanted to go. I said, no, I'm sorry.
So did you say I would go, but not with you?
No. I would have gone with a listener.
You would? Okay.
But it's gonna be crazy. I would kind of want to see what the scene's
is
like.
Your dad,
you know, if you're gonna be at Sliders or Pickles today, send me a picture.
Yes. Is your dad all in? Is like he planning his whole day around it?
I think they got back just from Hilton Head just for this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've been there for about 2 months.
So think about this for yesterday, the doubleheader, the Mets and Braves, since they didn't really know who they were going to play because of, you know, they needed to see the results of the doubleheader. After the second game, you know, the Braves win, so they get in, and it's, I don't know, 7:30-ish, 7:15, 7:30. And then they got to, you know, they're on the field celebrating. They go in the locker room, they celebrate. Then they got to jump on a plane and go all the way out to San Diego for a game tonight.
Hey, I think this is the first time in the history of the MLB that the Diamondbacks, they led the majors in total runs scored. And it's the first time that a team has done that and missed the playoffs.
Mm.
Yeah, well.
Why, their pitching was so
bad.
That's because
pitching wasn't great, especially towards the end of the year. But they lost the tiebreakers to both both the Mets and Braves.
Hmm.
That's why they're sitting home.
I know it doesn't relate because the teams are totally different, but I hate those Royals because I think it was the last time the Orioles were in the playoffs and the Royals had those relief pitchers where if it got to the seventh inning, they would turn it over to one of their guys in the seventh and the next guy in the eighth and the next guy in the ninth, and the Orioles just couldn't get past them
in the
playoffs.
Isn't everyone kind of doing that now?
Yeah, but the Royals had three studs. I can't even remember their names.
I remember.
Well, the Royals have three studs, starting pitching studs.
Yeah,
Brady Singer, Reagans, and Seth Lugo, all ERAs under 3.5. So they got some guys that'll start. That'll be tough. But Baltimore's playing at home.
All right, got
it's going to be fun to watch.
Big Tuesday show here on the Junks on October 1st. Sean Syed is going to join us. He is Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst. We'll talk to him at 8 o'clock about the Commanders and the NFL. Speaking of the Commanders, Jonathan Allen, their defensive tackle, will join us as he does every week during the season. That's coming up at 9 a.m. When we come back, we'll get into the Junks sports page. Sad day in the sports world yesterday. Some high-profile names passing. We'll get into that and more next on The Fan. Coming up later in the show, Sean Syed from Sumer Sports, NFL analyst. He'll join us coming up at 8 o'clock, so you don't want to miss that. Jonathan Allen from the Commanders joins the show at 9 o'clock. Time now for the Junkies sports page, brought to you by Jason Bishop.
So a couple of big-name athletes passed away yesterday.
Terrible.
Sure, everyone has seen these stories, but Pete Rose, baseball's career hits leader, passed away. He was in Nashville for an autograph session with Tony Perez, George Foster, Dave Concepcion, former Reds players,
the big red machine from back in the day.
Yep, and then I don't know if he flew back to. Did he live in Nevada? I think
that's
Vegas.
Right, but I'm not 100% sure.
Anyway, he was found by a family member. Coroner is going to investigate the two, determine the cause of manner of death, but there are no signs of foul play.
What are they saying? How old was he? 84?
83, 83. I think.
83.
83 years old.
Yeah, that one hit me in the gut. He was my childhood idol. First baseball player I think I really fell in love with. I can remember opening up packs of cards in the mid-70s and having a Pete Rose card. And I don't know. It was just an iconic player. I loved his hustle, loved his head-first slides, kind of loved everything about him. And, of course, the whole gambling controversy was a whole separate thing.
Yep.
But, man, that guy was fun to watch and played forever.
17-time All-Star.
Heard an amazing story yesterday. Tim Kirkchin, who's super passionate, and, of course, his son was an intern for us. But Tim was on the radio and was telling this story about Pete coming out of prison. So he served 5 months, I think, in prison.
I think they got him on tax charges or something.
Yeah. And so he comes out of prison, and he's 49 years old. And he went to a batting cage, and a crowd goes around him, and the batting cage is throwing. He says, put it on 85 miles an hour, which is, that's, you know, it's not 100, but it's 85 miles an hour. And then Pete just hit a laser like he had never lost any of it right back at the pitching machine.
He tells a great story. Well, he did. In his 80s, I'd say, Pete, how would you do against today's pitchers? He goes, oh, I'd probably hit about 190. He said, 190, they're that much better than there. He goes, I'm 83 years old.
You're an old codger.
Yeah. But he said he still hit 190, though.
That's funny.
Drab brought up a great point. About the MLB shouldn't be allowed to profit and capitalize off of his death. They just had such a strange relationship.
Why? What are they doing? Are they going to have
I don't know. My guess is they're just it's going to be a nonstop Pete Fest and moment of silence, and it'd be like everything was kumbaya between the two.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if they do that. It'd be interesting.
I saw an interview where Pete Rose said, it'd be great to be in Cooperstown, but at the end of the day, I don't really care. I'm in the Reds Hall of Fame. They got a statue of me outside the stadium. It's on Pete Rose Way. I got a son named Pete Rose. I got a grandson named Pete Rose. If I die, they'll give you a speech if I ever get in. It's all good. And so, in a way, it became kind of his lore a little bit that he wasn't in, and he became almost bigger than life in that way, that he wasn't in the Hall of Fame as good
as
he was.
Did he do a bit too? You know, John Daly would go to Hooters at Augusta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't he do a bit? He'd go across the street from Cooperstown.
I think that was kind of his bit. Yeah. He'd go right to the edge of the property.
Yeah.
Like a renegade session. I like it.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, he died doing what he loves, signing autographs.
Signing his name. Yeah. Hey, but you know what? It pays the bills.
Do you know when I was a kid? You used to be able to, somehow I got my hands on a book that had the home addresses of players.
Oh, stalk much?
Did you start doing Bob the Pro before we did?
This was in the 80s.
That's a weird bit.
Yeah.
I got a Pete Rose signed picture back.
Really?
I sent him a letter, told him he was my favorite player, and he sent me back a signed picture.
That's kind of cool.
And I'm pretty sure it was signed by Pete. It wasn't like some machine. No, I don't think so.
I did that with Wade Boggs. But I didn't send it to his house. I sent it to the Red Sox.
Weird, like PR or whatever.
Self-published book or something that some dude put out. That had
people do that here still with Brian Mitchell.
I know. We see stuff for him all the time.
He's got the letters upon letters that have his playing card in them that he's going to sign and send back.
Yeah.
So also, so Pete Rose passed away, and Dikembe Mutombo.
That was real shocker. I had no idea he was even ill.
His family revealed a couple years ago that he was undergoing treatment in Atlanta for brain tumor. But he also passed away. So Dikembe, and he was obviously much younger. He was 58.
So lovable, too. There's something about Dikembe that was so freaking lovable. And for people.
His voice.
Well, his voice.
I think his voice. But he always
smiled.
Personality. I mean, he was always
the finger wag,
raising money like to build hospitals back in his homeland in Africa. Like, I mean, he's just a good overall person.
No, that guy was a great
dude. Ambassador.
And he comes from that era when Georgetown. Like, if you were a big man, you were going to Georgetown.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And if you're a big man of any note,
didn't he play side by side with? Morning at one point, or am I getting my timeline mixed
up? They might have overlapped.
I saw a clip online this morning from the Dan Levitard show that he did with Bomani Jones. I think the show was called Highly Questionable. And they had Alonzo Mourning on, and they asked him if the line that Mutombo was known for at the clubs was true or not. And basically, Mourning confirmed it by laughing, where Mutombo would go into a club and say, "Do you want a sex, Mutombo?"
It's a good line.
Right.
You're getting right to the point, man.
Right.
You're cutting through all the nonsense.
So he was played 18 years in the league.
Unbelievable.
And he was Defensive Player of the Year 4 times, all NBA selections 3 times, I believe, 8 All-Star games, played for, I don't know, 5 or 6 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he passes away at 58.
I also saw this clip yesterday where he was going back and forth with Michael Jordan at an All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the locker room. And Mutombo is swearing, "You've never got me." And everybody in the locker room is like, "Oh, Jordan never dunked on you?" And he's like doing his finger wag. "Mm-hmm. No, you've never dunked on me." And then fast forward like 3 or 4 months later, he gets him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but he took pride in that.
A terrible, terrible day yesterday, right?
Yeah. Bad,
they say
bad
those
day.
Things go in threes.
Yeah, I was waiting.
Death
for
comes
for
in threes.
The
yeah,
third one.
So who's the third one?
I don't know.
Shame. It's a shame that they both die on the same day. They can't
get their
they don't get their flowers from the media, sports media, talk shows.
I feel
they got to share the casket spotlight.
I feel like a lot of the Pete Rose fans are probably dead.
I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, how old are the guys that are going to that autograph show to get Pete Rose and Concepcion and the other autographs?
The Big Red Machine.
Yeah. That's got to be like
your youngest is in the 50s, probably.
Yeah, it's an old crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did he just fly back to Vegas and just pass away in the middle of the night?
I mean, who knows, man?
I don't know. Heart attack? I don't know. We'll see. All right, so we mentioned baseball yesterday. There was a doubleheader, Mets and Braves. And if there was a sweep, that team would have gotten in, and then the D-backs would have gotten in. But there was not. It was a split. So both the Mets and the Braves get in. The Mets won the first game 8-7. Braves won the second one 3-0. One of the bigger stories is Chris Sale, the stud pitcher for the Braves, is going to win them Cy Young in the National League. Had back spasms. He was going to go in the second game if they lost the first game, which they did, but he couldn't go, and they are saying now he's probably not going to pitch in the wild card series. They open up in San Diego tonight at 8:30. 4 games today: Detroit, Houston, in Houston, 2:30. It's going to be Scooble against Valdez. KC's in Baltimore, 4:00. Cole Reagans against Corbin Burns. Mets, Milwaukee, Severino, and Peralta, and then Braves, San Diego. I'm not sure the Braves have announced who they're going to start yet, but Michael King's going for the Pods. So you got
the Phillies and Dodgers await the winners in the National League.
Correct.
In the American League, you've got the Yankees waiting, and who else?
Guardians.
Cleveland. Yeah. So you got 4-day baseball. Well, you got 3, but and then 1 night game tonight in Major League Baseball playoffs. NFL, we talked about it. You got 2 games yesterday in the doubleheader. Titans beat the Dolphins 31-12. Will Levis got hurt early in that game after throwing a pick. He was 3 for 4 through another pick. He was replaced by Mason Rudolph, and the Tennessee Titans demolished the Dolphins.
If you like watching handoffs, last night's game was for you.
Yeah, some of your—
that was a big, big one.
Some of your fantasy numbers: Tony Pollard, 22 carries for 88 yards and a score. Tyjae Spears had 15 carries, 39 yards and a score. Five field goals, for Nick Folk.
I think at least a couple of them were from 50 yards.
He had at least one 53-yarder.
He had a 53-yarder last night.
Yep. On the flip side, not much happening for the Dolphins. Huntley was 14 for 22, didn't even get to 100 yards. No touchdowns, sacked a couple times. He led them in rushing with 8 carries and 40 yards and a score. But the receivers, if you had Tyreek Hill on your fantasy team, you might think about benching him if you have anything better, because the last two games he's done absolutely nothing.
When's the earliest Tua can come back?
He's coming back in he's eligible to come off in week 8.
Okay.
Getting back to Folk for a second, he had a 53-yarder, he had a 52-yarder, and he had a 51-yarder.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I think he's—
has anybody done that? Hit 350 yards in one game?
I don't know.
It's becoming more commonplace.
I know this guy's got such strong
legs. I was driving around yesterday. I was listening to the broadcast. Ross Tucker, who comes on this show a lot, was on the call. And he was grilling one of the offense coordinators because they were within field goal range on a 3rd and long. It would have been like a 47 or 48-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. And they threw a 4-yard pass. He was like, why would you not throw to the sticks? Now, that's on the coordinator and the quarterback. It's like, why would you not throw to the sticks? Because all that does is improve your field goal position from 47 to 43. Those are both very makeable. He's like, at least go for the first down.
I don't know. Maybe they were covered. I don't know.
But these longer kicks are becoming more commonplace now.
Yeah, yeah.
When Koo hit the game winner over the weekend, what was that, a 58?
58.
Yeah. Now, there was a 62-yard attempt that was terrible.
Yeah, it was way short.
That one was terrible.
Mm-hmm. It was way short. I mean, that's a long one.
Yes.
62 yards. All right, so we also talked about the second game. Lions beat the Seahawks 42-29. Ton of points, obviously. I think there was 46 points scored in the second half. Either 40, maybe 43, but 42-29 final. Geno was 38 for 56 for almost 400, a touchdown. Kenneth Walker had 3 rushing touchdowns. DK Metcalf, 7 catches for a 104 on 12 targets. Smith and Jigba had 8 catches for 51, also on 12 targets. And Tyler Lockett, 5 for 61. A.J. Barner had the only receiving touchdown for the Seahawks. On the flip side, Jared Goff went 18 for 18 for 292 and a couple scores. He also caught a touchdown from Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And Jameson Williams, when he scores touchdowns, they're long ones.
Well, that's what he's lightning fast.
That's what he did. Long bombs.
That's what he did in college.
Yeah.
Guy can run. Just started out his NFL career with that injury. But 2 catches, 80 yards, including a 70-yard score. Jahmyr Gibbs, 14 carries, 78 yards, couple scores. David Montgomery, 12 carries for 40 and a score.
All 5 of Jameson Williams' NFL touchdowns have been over 30 receiving yards. He doesn't catch your garden variety 15, 20 yards. Mm-hmm. He goes big.
Travis, you stayed up to watch the whole thing?
Yeah, with that many points, it didn't end until probably close to 11:30 or so. And the Seahawks weren't out of it really until the final minute of the game.
So are you functioning on about 4.5 hours of sleep, something like that?
No, because I'll be honest.
Yeah.
It takes too long.
Yeah.
Right.
And I started scratching her back. And,
right. And then one thing led to another.
You said,
Geno almost had 400 passing yards.
Right. Did you think of him during?
There wasn't enough time to think about Geno.
Yeah, time was of the essence at that point.
After that, you go right to sleep. It puts you to sleep.
Yeah, but it was probably midnight or something. And then I woke up at, I don't know, 3:45.
Yeah.
Shower.
Jesus. Is that when your alarm goes off? Mine goes off at 4:20. Yours goes off at 3:45.
3:50, but I woke up 5 minutes early to take a quick shower.
Oh. Brutal.
That is brutal.
But he got Geno buns.
Yeah. Geno buns.
Sometimes you have to trade off.
I didn't know that buns was a thing after a loss.
Usually isn't, but victory buns. I didn't really care.
Buns.
I mean, it was
defeat
fine.
Buns.
Are you already chalking up for next week? I think they, you guys host the Giants, right?
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, but EB, it was a moral victory with all the yardage. The moral, you know how victory. You like big offensive production, and you'll still feel okay after a loss.
Yeah,
Geno Smith throwing for almost 400 yards got him fired up.
Right? Yeah, everyone said that about Jaden a couple games in. Oh, it didn't matter if we lose; we got our QB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
feel the same way.
All right,
except for my QB's 35. But.
Right. Hey, if you got a little run here, let's see what happens. And McDaniel, he did look dreamy on camera when they interviewed him. All I could think about was Valdez kind of jealous.
McDonald.
A little jealous of him.
He is dreamy.
Yeah.
Handsome man.
Yeah.
Well, I wish he'd dream up some defensive schemes.
Yeah, didn't have much last night.
Dream up a way to
but
stop the
But they were
the
without
team.
Like five
actually,
guys.
Actually, I'm sized for him to start losing, and then they fire him after a year, and he can come back
home. Back.
There
you go.
Come back home.
Yeah.
So week five is officially here. Man, I don't know what we're going to do on our Survivor.
I think it's the Seahawks. I mean,
could be.
I mean, we'll talk about
we'll
it.
We'll talk about
later.
It.
Who do they have?
The Giants.
They got the Giants at home.
They host the Giants. I mean, the board doesn't look great. That's one of the few that's jumping out.
I know. It's tough to pick from.
Yeah.
There are four teams on bye. The byes start this week. Detroit, Tennessee, Philly, and I believe the Rams. Rams or Chargers are on bye.
Chargers, I know, are on bye.
All right, it's Chargers.
Yeah.
All right, a couple other injury notes from the NFL. Kansas City Chiefs were still uncertain of the extent of Rashee Rice's knee injury.
That's weird.
The report was it was a torn ACL. Chiefs consulted with team doctors, received a second opinion after initial fears were the torn right ACL. More tests required to determine the
My
extent.
My guess is it's partially torn, not completely, and they don't know what to do.
Yeah, so kind of waiting to hear on that one. And then Christian McCaffrey, who, of course, still hasn't played, has bilateral Achilles tendonitis in both legs.
Wow.
He went to Germany for treatment.
It's bilateral Achilles tendonitis?
Achilles tendonitis in both Achilles.
Wow. So what do they say? What is the treatment for that?
Well, I'm guessing
not play football.
Yeah.
It's probably the treatment for him.
Rest. Yeah. Dry needling. All that kind of stuff.
So he's been, doesn't sound good. Jordan Mason, of course, has been a really good backup. Has already carried the ball 91 times in four games. So
for how many yards?
It's like 450-ish.
He's churning up the yards.
He is,
he's
but
killing it.
It's just a matter of time before he goes out.
Yeah.
And so it's not good.
All right, coming up at 7, we will hit the skins, give you the latest on the NFC East division leading Commanders. When we come back, we will go through a lot of jockeying of Jaden Daniels and the Commanders from the national media. We'll do that next here on The Fan. Are you guys ready to hear a slurpathon for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders from some of the biggest names in media?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for that?
Do we have a whole...
Oh, yeah. I believe it's a 4-minute long playlist. Oh. So, it's about as long as probably Drab went last night with his post-Geno Smith buns. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I have no idea.
There's a lot of names.
There's a lot of names. So,
did you make it 4 minutes, Drabby, when it was all said and done?
Don't think so.
So this may be longer than Drab's performance last night. Hey, we've all been there. It's all
right.
Especially when it's midnight, you got to wake up at 3:45.
Right.
Completely understand.
Yeah, it was on purpose.
All right, so let's lead off. Leading off with Pat McAfee talking about the Commanders.
They are a wagon. These are Daniels has taken full command.
Yeah.
This Washington Commanders turnaround is something you could not have dreamed about if you're a Washington football team fan or a Washington old school name fan or a Washington Commanders fan. It was seemingly doom and gloom on the horizon forever. Amen. And then Jaden Daniels comes in. Cliff Kingsbury comes in. Quinn comes in with his backwards hat.
Yep.
And they kind of changed the entire culture, the entire mood, the entire confidence. And new ownership's obviously got to be very excited. And that city's got to be excited. But this guy, following what C.J. Stroud did last year, where we say it's an anomaly. Don't expect rookie quarterbacks to be able to do that good. There's too much on their plate to be able to handle everything and have a success like C.J. Stroud did. Boom. Here we are yet again. Jaden Daniels off to an even better start somehow.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to anybody.
Stephen A. Smith.
I'm rolling with Jaden Daniels.
Oh, man, I know.
First of all,
I'm not rolling with a guy in Dak Prescott who's had 8 years to win a Super Bowl and can't even win more than two playoff games in 8 years. I'm not doing that. As far as I'm concerned, he's shown me what he is. He's elite during the regular season. Far from it come postseason, and it is what it is. This brother brings me hope. Let's understand something. 82.1% completion percentage. I'm looking at these numbers right here. Over the three-game winning streak, Teddy, Shay, this man has scored on 22 of 24 drives.
Jay Gruden.
You know why I'm so sweaty? God, I've been watching Jaden Daniels on film. That's it. I just sit here watching Jaden Daniels, and I start sweating. My heart starts beating. Watching him run around, this guy's freaking awesome.
Damian Woody.
What can you tell us right now? What statement are you willing to make right this moment about Jaden Daniels?
Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC right now. I'm going to repeat again. Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC right now.
Herm Edwards.
Put into perspective what we're seeing from the number two overall pick.
For me, it's not surprising. It's really not. I had him as a freshman to start. I've seen him develop from being a freshman and then leaving, obviously, go to LSU and now in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. This is not surprising at all.
What are the skills that Cliff is seeing?
Well, first of all, very accurate throwing the long ball.
Okay.
Pressure doesn't bother him. Sure. He can run away from pressure.
Yeah.
Very calm in big moments of games. That's what you're going to realize the more you watch this guy.
We had a recent comp. We said, we've seen this before in the nation's capital. All right. High drafted quarterback, fresh off a Heisman campaign.
Number two overall pick.
We said RG3. He said, no.
No, not RG3.
Okay.
He's Randall Cunningham.
Put something into perspective about his completion percentage, right? There's something called 7-on-7 that we do at practice. Sure. And that means there's no offensive line, no defensive line. And if you're going good on good, so say you're going ones-on-ones in training camp or practice, Ben Roethlisberger has never completed that many passes against us. His completion percentage has never been that high, and that's without being rushed because you're in the NFL.
Randy Moss.
You're talking about all the rookies in the National Football League. Is there anyone playing better than this young man here? I can't find one. And the reason why I talk about can you find one is because I really think the success that he can sustain in the National Football League, or the success that he has in the league, is very sustainable. And the reason why I talk about is how he's reaching the deep part of the passing game. You don't expect it out of a rookie.
Yep, there you go.
Man, that look at that.
I can listen to more.
Jaden Daniels whip around.
That's pretty freaking cool, man.
The last two games, he's barely had incompletions.
Yeah.
And they're scoring at a ridiculous rate.
Well, Jared Goff
hard
just,
not to,
just up, one-upped them last night.
Hard
though.
Not to jock them when the team doesn't punt.
Yeah, I mean...
What else can you say?
He runs with ease. Now, he doesn't have a ton of touchdown passes, but he's got 7 total touchdowns if you include the 4 rushing touchdowns.
Well, you include those.
Yeah.
You definitely include
those. They count.
That's why you can't get caught up on individual stats, because the offensive efficiency for the team is so high.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a Commanders fan, why do you don't care if Jaden Daniels throws for a touchdown or runs for a touchdown?
Either one works.
You just can't, or Austin Eckler gets the touchdown,
keep
or Brian Robinson
on the field.
Gets the touchdown.
Yeah, you just want to score.
You just want to score.
Keep converting third downs.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing.
You don't care if you hand it to the fullback and they run it in.
Oh, Jeremy McNichols, you're going to fill in and score twice? Perfect.
It doesn't matter. If you look at all of the metrics for the Commanders, they're far above any other team in the NFL right now in terms of
offensive efficiency.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Jaden Daniels doesn't have to throw another touchdown, but if they keep up the pace in which they're doing it and they run it in, who cares?
Not a lot of people chirping about Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
Who cares? Who cares how the team scores as long as they score?
Mm-hmm. Completely with you.
Yeah,
they're better.
The number three scoring team in the NFL.
They're
right
better
now,
than
right?
anybody thought they would be.
30.2 points or 30.3 points per game, I believe, at this point.
Even Mr. Bickle over there, who did predict 3-1, they're still better offensively than he thought they would be.
Of course, I mean, I didn't think he could really duplicate what CJ did last year. I thought he would manage it well, and he would limit mistakes. I didn't think he would be just like right off the bat, sort of as explosive. And just score every possession.
Maybe,
I just didn't think that.
Maybe he's going to be better. when all said and done.
Better than CJ's year? Yeah, it's possibly. Possible. I mean, I'm not going to rule it out. I mean,
it depends. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to appear in 15-plus games
the thing
to
is
do
he's,
it.
He's kind of growing every game. The first game was a real just sort of average, limited in what Cliff asked him to do. Mm-hmm. I still was comfortable. I was like, he's fine. No worries. But now you're starting to see the arsenal of throws he can do.
Yep.
And when Herm talks about pressure doesn't get to him, that he's calm in big moments, we've already seen that.
And he just runs away from the pressure. Now, he's going to get sacked at times. He's going to get hit at times. But
everybody does.
A lot of quarterbacks, they're just not mobile enough to get away from the pressure, and he is.
I just think he's not going to fall off a cliff.
I'm sure he'll
have bad games, but he's not going to fall off a cliff and be like terrible for 7 weeks.
He's not
going to
be Will Levis.
No. He's not going to just fall apart like Howell did last season. He's just too composed.
The Commanders are one of three teams that are scoring 30 or more points per game. The Saints lead the league at 31.8.
Front loaded.
They're taking a step back over the last 2 weeks.
Front loaded from their first two games.
The Bills are at 30.5, and your Commanders 30.3.
I mean, honestly, somebody called in the other day, or maybe JP asked, it's like, when was the last time you felt like this offensively? Well, honestly, it was 91. In 91,
that's
I felt like...
what the stats
like,
tell you.
I mean, there are people listening right now, I guess, that don't remember 91, but in 91, you just felt like you were going to win every week, and we were going to score like 30 points.
Yep.
Yeah. And Rip was just going to drop back and just be a silly. Mm-hmm. Just throw bombs all day.
Yep, I remember it.
Now, this is a little different. It's a little different approach. But it feels like we can get points every time we have
the ball.
Feels
like we're back in the 90s, EB.
I couldn't remember who was nicknamed the ultimate weapon. And it's funny because you're always talking about they've got all these weapons. And I've been saying, well, to me, not really. But they've got the ultimate weapon in Jaden Daniels. And then Herm Edwards comped them to Randall Cunningham. That's the guy who they used to call the ultimate weapon. I think Sports Illustrated had Randall Cunningham on the cover and called him the ultimate weapon.
But Randall Cunningham was a freak. I feel like Jaden is more complete. Then Randall Cunningham had that longer release.
Oh, I think he's more athletic than Randall Cunningham. Like Randall, faster.
Maybe. Yeah, he's faster.
Randall was a freak.
Randall had the long strides.
He had long strides, long throwing motion, did some amazing things, had an incredible career. But I just think Jaden is more complete. I don't know, man. But I understand the comparison.
Looking good at the quarter poll, 3-1.
I mean,
looks pretty good.
I don't know, with a very winnable game on Sunday.
Yep.
Very winnable.
Coming up next, we will hit the Skins. EB will give us the latest as the Commanders prepare to take on the Cleveland Browns at what I'm guessing will be a packed Northwest Stadium. So we'll hit the Skins next.